Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look great. What have you been doing?
I found Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe the same active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s for 80 to 90% less without insurance. All on mine, shipped right to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's care to #250.
Hey everyone, I'm Sam.
And I'm Sean.
And this is Key to the Case. Welcome back. Thank you all for joining us today. And thank you for understanding that we had to take a couple of weeks off in July. Sean spent most of July in Albany, New York for work. And then we went on a cruise that took us to Belgium and Norway, which was wonderful. So I thought now would be a good time to cover a case that was suggested to us by our listener, Stephanie. This is a cruise disappearance. And when you hear, or at least when I hear, that someone disappeared from a cruise ship, the first thought tends to be that they fell overboard. But this case is quite twisted and disturbing. I will warn you, there are some pretty disturbing elements in this case. And you'll see as we go through how it's doubtful that we're discussing an accidental fall overboard, but no one has ever been charged in relation to this disappearance. There are quite a few people we'll be discussing in this case, so I will try to be as clear as possible about who is who throughout the episode, but I would suggest checking out our Instagram, Key to the Case Podcast, because I'll try to have the post up at the same time as the episode, so you can get a visual, you can put faces to the names of the people we'll be discussing. The last note is that WTOL 11 News has done incredible reporting on this case and helped publicly piece it together. I specifically want to call out Brian Duggar with WTOL, who has done a lot of good work. All right, let's get into it. Tammy Grogan was 35 years old at the time of her disappearance in 2006. Tammy was a single mom to her 14-year-old son, Jimmy. Tammy and Jimmy lived in an apartment in Toledo, Ohio, a city that sits on the western shore of Lake Erie near the Michigan-Ohio border, and it is the fourth largest city in Ohio. As a single parent, at times, Tammy struggled to make ends meet. She even filed for bankruptcy in the 90s, but in 2006, she was doing better, and she worked full-time at a dental office in Toledo doing administrative work. Tammy's older sister, Sherry, and her husband, who lived 20 minutes north of Toledo in Michigan, helped look after Jimmy when Tammy couldn't. So they were close. And according to Sherry, as well as other family members, Tammy and Jimmy had a great relationship. She said that Jimmy loved and even worshipped Tammy. Tammy's family described Jimmy as a happy and adventurous kid. He was a freshman in high school when Tammy disappeared, and he aspired to enlist in the military after high school. Tammy is described as amicable, pleasant, and hardworking. Leading up to Tammy's disappearance, a couple of new people entered her life, one being her Aunt Deb. And she was not new in the sense that Tammy didn't know her, but they hadn't had a relationship for many years. And when Deb suddenly reappeared, she and Tammy grew close.
Do you know if they never really had a relationship to begin with, or was there something that happened, an event that happened that they stopped communicating and then someone reached out to the other one to kind of rekindle the relationship?
There was nothing in my research to indicate either way, but you would think maybe it would have been mentioned if they had a falling out and then they reconnected. So that leads me to believe that Deb just drifted apart from the rest of the family. But of course, we can't say it with certainty. So when Tammy and Deb were spending time together, Tammy noticed that Deb was on the phone frequently. So she inquired about who Deb was talking with. Deb told Tammy she was speaking with a 25-year-old man named Craig Morgan. Now, Deb used to be the nanny for Craig and his sister Rebecca when they were growing up. The details of the relationship are unclear, and I don't think it's that unusual for Craig and Deb to stay in touch with each other. She was their nanny, and they presumably spent a lot of time together when Craig and Rebecca were young. She could maybe even be described as a grandmotherly or motherly figure for Craig and Rebecca. But this was more of a friendship. They were in close contact and spent what seemed like a significant amount of time together, or at least a significant amount of time talking on the phone with each other. Tammy, being the friendly woman she was, encouraged Deb to bring Craig around, and Deb seemed to waste no time bringing Craig into Tammy and Jimmy's lives. When Craig was introduced to Tammy and Jimmy, he took an interest in Jimmy from the outset. Some even described it as Craig became this sort of father figure to Jimmy. But to remind you all, Craig was 25 at the time and Jimmy was 14. 25-year-olds aren't parents to 14-year-olds. A more appropriate characterization probably would have been that Craig might have wanted to be like an older brother to Jimmy. Craig would often take Tammy, Jimmy, and Deb shopping, and he was the one footing the bill. WTOL 11 reported that he even started a watch collection for Jimmy, and over a few months, he reportedly bought Jimmy 20-plus watches. When he would come to pick the group up, he would often arrive in a limo.
A limo to go shopping seems a little over the top and excessive.
Yeah.
I guess my question is, where did he get his money at 25 to do that type of stuff? To rent a limo to go shopping, to start a 20 plus watch collection for Jimmy?
Oh, yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. So Craig's source of income is a mystery on its own. Tammy's mom, Bonnie, who will come up later, we'll be mentioning Bonnie a lot. She indicated that Craig was involved, or Craig told her he was involved with 7 different companies, but he couldn't share the names of these organizations. Craig's father is an attorney, and his stepfather was the founder of a successful software company in Texas. So some have proposed, and I think this is probable, that Craig's money came from his family. Because when I hear someone is involved with 7 different companies, I think they're an investor or something. You can't realistically be employed by 7 companies at once, but we have no reason to believe Craig was an investor. It's been described that Craig was secretive about his career, but what career, and was his line of work legitimate?
Yeah, he could be a consultant to those 7 different companies as well,
yeah,
right?
That's the other possibility. But again, why would that need to be a secret? I mean, I don't know what his background was. What would he be consulting on? There's just so many questions about what Craig did and how he got his money.
It's a very specific number, too.
I know,
7
right?
Different companies. I guess I would have just said a handful of, I don't know. It's probably semantics, but yeah, interesting where he's getting all this money from. It kind of just sounds like it's coming from his parents. But maybe he did have his own independent career where he was getting some supplementary income.
Yes, I agree. It could be that he had his own career, but he was also getting help from his parents to support his generous or even excessive spending habits. Matters began to get weird and uncomfortable with Craig. It sounded as though Tammy and her family members, including her mom and dad, felt that Craig's interest in Jimmy was becoming inappropriate. According to the family, Craig focused much of his attention on Jimmy. There's this one photo of them where they're in matching outfits. They're wearing the same polo, but in different colors, and they're both wearing khaki pants. And I just thought, in what scenario is a 25-year-old interested in wearing a matching outfit with a 14-year-old, especially when it's not your brother, you know? But that was the least of everyone's concerns. Tammy and her family noticed a significant amount of touching going on between Craig and Jimmy. WTOL reported that at one point in 2006, the same year that Tammy would later disappear, Tammy's dad walked into a room where he saw Craig and Jimmy in this intimate hug, and it was unsettling to him. According to detectives, about 7 months before Tammy vanished, the police were sent to Tammy's home in response to a call where Tammy indicated she was sick of the touchy-feely relationship between Craig and Jimmy and wanted Craig out of their lives. Now, there were no charges against Craig at that time. I imagine there wasn't much the police could do in that situation, but Tammy told Jimmy that he was no longer allowed to spend time with Craig, and she told Craig this as well. Nonetheless, Craig continued to hang around Jimmy and the family. I've never been able to find Tammy's aunt Deb's opinion on the situation. She was the one who brought Craig into the picture. So to my knowledge, she's never publicly said a word about the situation. I suppose if she has, it's deep in the archives where I couldn't find it, but she is a critical person here. And I've said Deb is Tammy's aunt, but the relationship is never clearly defined. But based on what I could dig up, I believe she was an aunt by marriage. I could be wrong. A family tree would be helpful in this case, but the relationship is a little unclear.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how Deb comes back into Tammy's life out of nowhere, and then she introduces Tammy and her son to the stranger, and then the stranger's relationship with Tammy's son escalates and gets to an inappropriate stage. It seems weird to me how this whole situation is unraveling. Like, was Deb coming back into Tammy's life intentional? I don't know. It kind of seems that way.
We really don't know. Yeah. And I would feel horrible if I introduced, I guess, a friend of mine to a family member of mine, and then this situation started happening. Like, I would completely want that person out of my family member's life. So that's just why I'm kind of pointing out, we don't really know Deb's opinion on this. I would hope she, you know, was on the same page as Tammy, but when you don't speak publicly and no one else in the family is really talking about how she felt about it, we can't say. So what I'm about to say is disturbing and tragic, but reportedly Jimmy confided in his mom years before Craig ever appeared that an ex-boyfriend of hers molested him. I don't have much information on this, but it's not hard to imagine that Tammy could have felt she failed Jimmy in that situation, and she wanted to make sure it wouldn't happen again. Like I said, Deb is important here. In fact, it was Deb who was at the root of the cruise that I brought up at the very beginning of this episode. In September 2006, Deb had recently lost about 100 pounds, which is great, definitely worth celebrating. So it only made sense that Craig, to congratulate Deb, offered to pay for Deb, Jimmy, Tammy, and Tammy's mom, Bonnie, to go on a cruise to celebrate. And I'm being facetious here, because of course, to the average person, this doesn't make sense. It costs money to send people on a cruise, and Craig had no plan of joining the group. So he would not join in on enjoying the fruits of his apparent labor. Although Tammy no longer wanted Craig in their lives, her family explained to WTOL that despite having reservations about accepting something like this from Craig, Tammy basically said she couldn't pass up a free vacation. And Tammy was a single mom, It certainly wasn't every day that she was receiving the opportunity to take her son on vacation for free. And additionally, Craig was not going on this cruise, so she wouldn't have to worry about the situation with Craig and Jimmy. She could let loose and take a break.
This whole scenario is just completely bizarre to me. Deb and Craig both haven't been involved in Tammy's life for an extended period of time, and now they're going on vacation together and Craig's not even going, but he's footing the bill. Like, this whole thing is crazy because someone had, I thought you mentioned someone had called the police on Craig.
I did, yes.
So now they're, yeah, I personally, I wouldn't have gone, but it would be difficult to pass up a free vacation, but it remaining to be associated with this person would be difficult.
Oh, yeah. I am on the same page as you. At my core, I know I could not accept a vacation from Craig in this situation. But on the other hand, I do understand why someone would, why Tammy would, especially if she had financial struggles. Jimmy was 14, so I don't know, it wasn't going to be that long until he was 18, and they probably wouldn't really do family vacations much. So I understand why Tammy accepted this. But then also to invite Tammy's mom, Bonnie, is interesting. Like, that just feels kind of random, kind of like an extra person that Craig has to pay for. But maybe it was to entice Tammy. Like, hey, you can bring your mom along. It'll be fun. I'm not sure. So Tammy, her mom Bonnie, Deb, and Jimmy flew from Ohio to Miami, Florida, where they set out on a four-day cruise aboard the Carnival Imagination Ship, a ship filled with passengers totaling about 2,000. This cruise had two destinations, Key West in Florida and Playa del Carmen in Mexico. Craig booked two rooms for the group, so Tammy and Jimmy would share one room, and Deb and Bonnie would share the other room. WTOL reported, despite the center of this trip being Deb's weight loss, she offered up the nicer room of the two that had a balcony to Tammy and Jimmy. She offered to take the inside room, which of course had no windows or balcony, and she would stay with Bonnie.
To me, right now, it seems like Deb and Craig are still, you know, whatever the relationship is, they're still involved together. And this is just, I guess, me speculating right now that this doesn't seem like it's about Deb's weight loss, this cruise, I mean, and seems more to be a peace offering to Tammy and Jimmy on Craig's behalf based on what they viewed was an inappropriate relationship.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. Definitely. They could be hoping that after this cruise, Tammy might be more open to Craig being in their lives because he just extended this nice gesture to them. Although I really don't think, had Tammy not disappeared on this cruise, I don't think there's any reason to believe that she was open to letting Craig back into their lives. Shortly after boarding, Jimmy explored the ship's 10 decks, discovering pools, restaurants, and bars along the way. But the most interesting discovery came quickly. Jimmy reported to Tammy, Deb, and Bonnie that Craig's sister, Rebecca, and her ex-boyfriend, Robbie, just so happened to be on the ship. Robbie is always referred to as the ex-boyfriend, so I'm assuming they broke up after the cruise, or maybe they were exes who maintained a friendship and they were on this cruise together. Tammy's family doesn't believe this was a coincidence. When Tammy learned that Rebecca and Robbie were on the ship, she confided in Bonnie, her mom, that she felt it was odd that they just appeared. And Rebecca and Robbie didn't just say hello and go their separate ways. From when they discovered they were all on the ship, they spent most of the rest of the cruise together. I'm not sure if anyone in the group other than Rebecca knew Robbie, and I'm not sure how well they all knew Rebecca other than Deb, because as a reminder, Deb was the nanny for Craig and Rebecca when they were children. But if they didn't know each other very well, regardless of any concerns Tammy had, they quickly became acquainted. Actually, you could say they became far more than acquainted. And we know this for a couple of reasons. One being that Tammy brought a digital camera on the trip and she took more than 100 photos. So I just paused to show Sean these pictures, and I recommend that you, again, like I said in the beginning, you check out our Instagram to see these photos because I think it helps to see it yourself.
Yeah, it looks like they got pretty well acquainted fairly quickly on a four-day cruise. Those were very interesting pictures.
Yeah, I think interesting is a nice way to put it. WTOL shared some of these photos. That's where I was able to see them. And it's apparent there was a lot of drinking going on. And Bonnie confirmed this. She said that Deb told Tammy she could drink as much as she wanted because Deb would pay for it. Bonnie was not drinking because she was taking a certain medication that did not interact well with alcohol. So she essentially couldn't drink. And disappointingly, Jimmy was allegedly taking part in the drinking as well, even though he was just 14. In one picture, Rebecca is straddling 61-year-old Bonnie. In another, Tammy is grabbing Robbie's backside. And then in another picture, they're sitting beside each other, kind of piled on top of one another. And a couple of Jimmy's fingers are like down his great aunt Deb's shirt. Overall, the best word to describe many of these photos is raunchy.
The weirdest part of these pictures is the relationships everyone has with each other. And you know, also coupled with the fact that Jimmy's only 14. And it just doesn't seem like an appropriate situation for that 14-year-old to be in if you look through the pictures.
Right. And these are the pictures that have been made publicly available. Who knows what else was in the 100 plus other photos that we didn't see. But you're right. Most of these people are related to each other. So just kind of a bizarre setting overall. Saturday, September 9th was the second to last night of the cruise. And the group partied in the room shared by Tammy and Jimmy. Bonnie told reporters later that she began to feel a little unwell. So she went out on the balcony and Robbie followed. Moments later, Jimmy gave her a glass of water since she said she wasn't feeling well. That is the last memory Bonnie had, being out on the balcony, even though she wasn't drinking since she was on that medication. Bonnie woke up in her bed the following day, Sunday, at noon, with no recollection of how she got there or how the rest of the night progressed. Strangely, Bonnie said she always woke up at 6 a.m. without an alarm clock. She didn't need an alarm clock to wake up at the same time every day. Her body just woke her up. Needless to say, it was highly unusual for her to sleep in until noon. When Bonnie awoke, she realized Tammy was nowhere to be found. She asked the group where Tammy was, and she was told that the night before, Tammy was, of course, drinking, and she said she was going to find a man. They said the last time they saw Tammy was in the early morning hours of Sunday before Tammy apparently set out on her own, and Jimmy went to Rebecca and Robbie's room. The group did not report Tammy as missing to the cruise staff until Monday when the ship returned to Miami about 32 hours after they last reportedly saw her. They thought Tammy would appear before the cruise ended.
So did they have any stops in between when they last saw her and when they reported her missing?
No, there were no stops in that roughly 32-hour period. I guess they were just sailing at that point. The FBI in Miami started the investigation into Tammy's disappearance. And just a few days into it, they told the media that foul play was not suspected for reasons unknown. This was a premature statement because where this investigation goes indicates that there is foul play involved, and that's based on what investigators think now. They reviewed the ship's logs and found a report of someone potentially going overboard. It sounded like someone saw a large splash around 9:30 on Monday morning. They were unable to find anyone in the water, and this would not align with the timeline of Tammy's disappearance. I suppose it's possible, but considering no one said they knew where she was throughout Sunday, then this is unlikely. And no one else turned up missing from the ship. So there's no chance that this was someone else. So it could have been an object, not a person, or maybe someone didn't see what they thought they saw. The FBI interviewed Deb, Rebecca, Robbie, Jimmy, and Bonnie, and they requested that they each submit to a polygraph. Deb elected not to take a polygraph while the others submitted. The results were inconclusive across the board. Other than Bonnie, the group was described as uncooperative. And we'll come back to the investigation here shortly. But when the group returned home and Jimmy went back to the apartment in Toledo that he shared with his mom, he found that several items had been stolen, including a computer, jewelry, and several credit cards. There were no signs of forced entry, but a back window of the apartment was open. By the time this discovery was made on Tuesday, a neighbor told the Toledo police that she noticed the window had been open for 2 days. So whoever took these items likely did it on Sunday or around that time. When Tammy's family members learned of the news of her disappearance and the stolen items, they were shocked. They expected that when they spoke with Jimmy, he would be distraught. Tammy's sister told WTOL that Jimmy did not outwardly display any emotion about his mom's disappearance. She and her husband thought this was really odd. Jimmy's grandmother, not Bonnie, but a different grandmother named Joanne, told WTOL, quote, "He shows no emotion. He shows no feeling. He shows no suspicion. He shows absolutely nothing when the subject comes up," end quote. And people handle situations like this in different ways, especially teenagers and children. But her family thought it was strange because he was so close to his mom. In an interview, Bonnie shared that on the flight home to Toledo from Miami, Jimmy and Deb were acting almost as if nothing happened. Bonnie claimed that Deb was busy letting Jimmy fondle her. And when interviewed about this, Bonnie was asked to clarify. And she said Jimmy was literally grabbing Deb's breasts. Now, this is Bonnie's claim, but it's not too hard to believe when there is a photo with Jimmy's fingers down his great aunt's shirt. I almost don't even have words for this, but if this is true, it's highly disturbing. And in my opinion, Deb is the most problematic person in this group. We have to remember she was the nanny for Craig and Rebecca when they were children, and she maintained a relationship with them. I could be wrong, but I see Deb as the linchpin of this whole story.
Yeah, it's pretty disturbing. And I agree. Deb seems like she's at the center of this whole thing.
Investigators with the Toledo police interviewed the group. And when they spoke with Jimmy, he told them that he spent the night Tammy went missing, sleeping in Rebecca and Robbie's room. Jimmy said that when he returned to the room he shared with his mom once to receive his swimming trunks, he didn't see his mom in the room. But he told investigators that the bathroom light was on, so he figured that she was in the bathroom. But there was a problem with Jimmy's story. Investigators confronted Jimmy with the fact that there was a digital log of every time their door was unlocked and which key card was used to unlock it. And that log revealed that the door had been unlocked many times, not just one time. And older reports state that Jimmy returned to the room with Robbie once, but it's unclear where that information comes from. It could be because of cameras on the ship. But if there were cameras that pointed at Tammy and Jimmy's room and they were working, then that should have captured Tammy entering her room and never leaving if she did go overboard. And that would be a huge piece of evidence. So I'm skeptical of it being camera footage that informed them that Jimmy was with Robbie. It is possible that this is not accurate. So after Jimmy was confronted with this information, he was nervous and admitted that he had been back to the room more than once, although it's unclear what kind of explanation he provided to investigators as to why he lied and why he went back to the room many times.
On the log that shows who unlocked the door with their key card, are there timestamps?
Yes, but the investigators have not revealed the sort of timeline of the door being unlocked. The FBI tested Tammy's glass in her room and they found traces of Rohypnol, which is also frequently referred to as a date rape drug. In the United States, Rohypnol is classified as a Schedule 4 controlled substance. Examples of other drugs in this category would be Xanax and Valium. Rohypnol is not approved for medical use in the U.S. It's illegal, although there are countries where it is approved for severe cases of insomnia because it causes drowsiness. It can also cause memory impairment, headaches, and dizziness, and these effects occur quickly, typically within 15 to 30 minutes after consuming this drug. These responses, unfortunately, make it useful for someone who wants to take advantage of another person, hence why it's called the date rape drug. Originally, there were concerns about Rohypnol's form. It was a capsule that dissolved when you dropped it in a drink, and it was colorless and tasteless. So in 1997, manufacturers responded to these concerns and reformulated the drug. Again, this was happening outside of the U.S. because it's not manufactured nor approved for use in the U.S. The drug was reformulated so that when it entered a light-colored liquid, it would turn liquid blue. However, generic versions of Rohypnol may not contain the blue dye. So this drug was obtained illegally and put in Tammy's drink that was in her room at some point, or it was obtained legally while the group was in Mexico during the cruise because Rohypnol is legal in Mexico. This is huge. Why would someone want to incapacitate Tammy? And this goes back to Bonnie. Remember how she wasn't drinking, but then she suddenly passed out and didn't wake up until noon with no memory of how she got into her bed? It's not hard to imagine that she was given this drug as well, since she passed out right after or shortly after drinking water. But Tammy's effects might have been even more pronounced because she was drinking. The interaction between Rohypnol and alcohol can be dangerous because they're both central nervous system depressants. Bonnie told WTOL in 2008 that she believed she was drugged, and that's why she passed out the way she did. Why would someone or multiple people want Tammy and Bonnie to be incapacitated?
I'm thinking that the water was originally meant for Tammy, since they were in her room when Bonnie drank that water, and Jimmy must have just given that same cup to Bonnie.
I think that's possible, or in the theory that these people, this group, had something to do with Tammy's disappearance, it could be that they did not want Bonnie to be around to witness anything. Later in the investigation, the Toledo police obtained a search warrant for Craig Morgan's home. They made a couple of interesting discoveries. There were notes written about the drug Rohypnol. Only investigators know the exact contents of these notes, but Craig claimed that Rebecca was having trouble sleeping and he was researching sleep aids that could help her. Although, to my knowledge, there were no notes about other drugs that could help her sleep. In my opinion, this is ridiculous. Why would you look into a date rape drug to help your sister sleep? I can think of many other sleep aids that make more sense other than one and are safer other than one you would have to obtain illegally. Plus, traces of this drug were found in Tammy's drink. So regardless of what was going on with Rebecca, that does not give anyone the right to put this drug in Tammy's glass. Investigators also found a pendant inside Craig's home that he had given Tammy. I think this was of interest because why would Craig be in possession of something he gifted Tammy? And then when you couple that with the fact that there was jewelry missing from Tammy's home, makes you wonder if that was one of the pieces of jewelry that was missing. But Craig's explanation was that Tammy had given him the pendant back before she disappeared. It's not entirely unbelievable because Tammy wanted Craig out of their lives. So this could have been a situation where she didn't want anything that came from him, but that doesn't seem super probable considering she accepted the cruise from Craig. Plus, I'd like to know if there were other items that Craig had given her that were still in her home. After Tammy disappeared, Jimmy moved in with his paternal grandfather. And although Jimmy and his grandfather had a good relationship, his grandfather told WTL, quote, "He lost his mom. What was his emotional response? He didn't seem to have an emotional response. He didn't seem to miss her. He seemed to handle it a little too well, you know," end quote. So there's another family member who was perplexed by Jimmy's response. Jimmy's grandfather described him as a good student. Jimmy graduated from high school early and enlisted in the Army in 2009, something he always wanted to do. During the first break Jimmy received during his training in Georgia, Jimmy didn't return. No one knows where he went or who he was with, but I think we could all make an educated guess. When Jimmy finally returned to the military, he was dishonorably discharged. You'd think for someone who always wanted to be in the military that this would be deeply upsetting, but it was a result of his actions. After Jimmy's grandfather took him to basic training, he never saw him again. In fact, most of Jimmy's family hasn't seen him since he was in high school, and he's 32 now. The investigators in Tammy's disappearance have made it abundantly clear that they are suspicious of the group who went on the cruise with Tammy. They have said that they don't refer to them as persons of interest. They are suspects, except for the one person, Bonnie, who was cooperative. Unfortunately, Bonnie died in 2012 without answers, but she spoke to the media and investigators, and she was certainly suspicious of the cruise group. And it does make her look better than everyone else when she was willing to speak, whereas the others remained silent. Investigators have also said that they're investigating Tammy's case as a homicide, and they are firm in their belief that Tammy couldn't have accidentally fallen over the railing. There are pictures of Tammy from the cruise of her standing against the railing, which are helpful to see because you can see that the railing came up to right under her chest. At that height, it would be difficult for her to fall over accidentally while standing. She would have to hoist herself up and then fall or jump off from there. And although she was drinking that night, investigators firmly believe that Tammy was forced overboard. Normally, I think that theories involving people colluding to commit a crime and keeping a secret are not all that likely just because it is hard for multiple people to keep a secret like that. But that could be what we're looking at here, although investigators haven't indicated if their belief is that everyone in that group is involved, but they are considered suspects. The effects of Rohypnol certainly would have made the scenario of Tammy being pushed overboard easier to carry out since she was likely incapacitated. Investigators' theory is that Tammy stood in the way of Craig's relationship with Jimmy because she ordered Craig to stay out of their lives and they needed Tammy out of the picture. The investigators have expressed frustration with the lack of cooperation from the group, but they've specifically been frustrated with the lack of cooperation from Craig. And he wasn't even in the cruise group, but considering the situation with Jimmy and that the impetus for the trip came from Craig and he had notes about Rohypnol in his home, he's an important person in this case.
Yeah, there's a few too many coincidences to, for Craig to be removed from the suspect list. I think he absolutely should be included in this. It's kind of a shame that Jimmy's included in that because it does seem like he got manipulated.
I agree. I do think if Jimmy had anything to do with this, if he knows what happened, then there was a lot of manipulation that went on, potentially from more than one person in this case. But Craig not being on the cruise kind of makes sense. I mean, Tammy probably wouldn't have gone anyway if he went, but I can see why he wasn't on the cruise. I'll put it that way. He definitely could not have been responsible directly for what happened to Tammy, but there is a possibility here that Craig was pulling the strings. moving on to what these people are doing now. Robbie got married in California in 2014, and his wife's father was dying at the time. So they had a ceremony in his hospital room. Recordings of this began to spread online, and Robbie and his new wife went viral. I wonder if anyone remembers seeing this. I don't remember seeing it in 2014, but it would be really interesting to know if any of our listeners saw this. And I'll link this in the show notes. But as a result of this, they participated in quite a few interviews and TV appearances. WTOL reported that Robbie has a YouTube channel where he reads from the Bible. So, of course, I had to watch some of these. And the first one I watched, I just picked one at random. He's just reading directly from the Bible. And at the end, he's kind of reflecting on what he just read. He said, quote, "If you find yourself in contradiction with your conscience about something you're going to do and someone is pressuring you to do something, I would say, ask the Lord if it's the right thing to do, because if the Lord drives you to go the other way, then go the other way." End quote. I just thought that was a pretty specific comment, and he is a suspect in Tammy's disappearance. If Robbie had anything to do with it, and I'm not saying he did, but if he did, he would not have been the driving force behind it. From what I could find, he didn't even know Tammy until the cruise. So could his conscience have been in contradiction with something he was going to do, something he was asked to do? That question remains. But the investigators have said that they're very close to being able to prosecute in this case, but they need more. They specifically need someone with information to come forward, because Tammy will never be found, or the probability of that is more or less zero. And they've pretty much collected all of the evidence that they can. So they need someone with firsthand knowledge to come forward. And if Robbie knows something, I think he's the best bet out of the group. Thinking about that, if Robbie knows something important and he's withholding it, and he has this YouTube channel, the juxtaposition is just staggering. But what about the others? Deb lives in Colorado now, and WTOL was able to get in contact for a very brief conversation with her. She refused to discuss Tammy's disappearance and said she didn't want to be involved anymore. When Deb was asked if she kept in contact with the cruise group, she said, of course. If she is still in touch with Jimmy, that makes one family member who is, because like I said, from what I could find, no one else in the family has been able to get in contact with him for many years. WTOL tied Jimmy to an address as recently as 2016 in Burney, Texas. At this address is a home owned by Craig's stepfather and mom. Craig and Rebecca are also linked to this address. So if there were any question of Jimmy and Craig maintaining a relationship, being associated with the same address would indicate they did. Although I don't know where that relationship stands today. I said earlier that Robbie might be our best bet to come forward if he knows anything, but Jimmy could as well if he knows something. He was only 14 at the time all of this went down. There was, like we talked about, likely a significant amount of manipulation that went on, but he's 32 now. His brain should be fully developed, and he's had plenty of time to reflect on this. While I researched this case, I kept thinking it would be interesting to hear a psychologist's opinion on it, because I oscillated in my feelings a lot throughout the research. For the most part, I feel for Jimmy, but on the other hand, if he does know something, it is frustrating to know that he would withhold it now that he's 32 years old.
Yeah, it's definitely unfortunate that he was taken advantage of when he was 14, allegedly. But now that he's 32, I'm frustrated that if he does know something, he hasn't come forward, because he could, being 14 at the time, he could probably strike a deal if he told his story and not face too many consequences, I guess, depending on how he told the story. But yeah, if he knows something, I think he could come forward with minimal consequences.
I agree. Right?
I agree, especially because the investigators said they're very close to being able to prosecute, but they need someone who knows something to come forward. So they're ready for someone to share information and to probably work out a deal. It could just be a matter of, out of the people who know something, who's going to be the first to come forward and share what that is? And like I said, Tammy will never be found. The stats vary a bit, but the survival rate of someone who goes overboard is cited between 15 and 25%. Your greatest chance of survival would be if someone saw you go overboard and reported it immediately. The sooner the cruise staff is notified, the better. If Tammy went overboard, no one reported that happening. So that's problem number one, because it takes the ship time to turn around and hypothermia can set in quickly. So time is really of the essence. You'd also think that if someone entered the water already incapacitated, their likelihood of survival is much lower. There are other factors too, but the ocean is vast and it's not hard to understand why going overboard is so dangerous. The Carnival Imagination Ship is no longer in operation. It was retired in 2020. And you know, we really didn't talk much about the possibility of Tammy going overboard accidentally because law enforcement does not believe that's what happened. But I will say that the cruise we just went on was the first cruise I'd ever been on, and there was not a single time that I ever worried that I would fall overboard. So that was interesting to me. Not that before the trip, I thought it was something that could easily happen, but they make sure it's not easy for people to fall overboard. Tammy's dad died in 2019. So tragically, neither of her parents lived to see resolution in her disappearance. And although Jimmy is still alive, he was not listed in either of their obituaries, despite their other grandchildren being listed. The rest of Tammy's family wants to see justice in her case. They have not given up. It's been almost 18 years. That is far too long. This case was deeply frustrating and infuriating to research and learn about. So if I felt that way just from researching and learning about it, I can't imagine how disgusted and heartbroken her family was. So if you have information related to the disappearance of Tammy Grogan, please call the Toledo Police Department at 419-213-4700. Please share this case. It definitely needs more attention, but that is all for now. We will be back next week with a new case. Bye.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelthy providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelthy can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.